Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's another edition of Zone Time. Sam Chang is here. Justin Cuthbert is here. Omar, Tic-Tac-Tomar, also here. You know what's funny? On an episode of Zone Time, I was thinking about it for about a week or two because I got the opportunity to talk to Wayne Simmons a couple weeks ago. I thought, you know what? He sounds exactly like Omar, and I want us to call Omar the Internet Wayne Simmons. And now you can say you are followed by this man on Twitter. Congratulations, yeah, Omar.
Followed by a hero.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, someone just like tweeted at me saying like, "Oh, like how happy are you? How happy are you right now?" If I looked at the image, I was like, "What?" And after I went through my falls, I was like, "Oh, sick." So yeah, it was a little surreal. But you know, it's cool. I guess it comes with the territory. So it's awesome. It's sweet.
It's good. It's nice to have people tweet nice stuff at you on Twitter every now and again and not tweet you any, you know, condescending crap, you know, because Twitter can be a really mean place. People can do a lot of really mean jokes.
Hey, don't forget.
Nope. I'm not going to forget at all. No, sir. This is the last episode of Zone Time before the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. And we already know about the handful of Canadian teams that will be there. Unfortunately, it doesn't look as if the Vancouver Canucks are going to be there, contrary to us showing belief in them last week. And I'm sure Sam laughed all the way to the bank.
Yeah,
we know you didn't believe.
Sam was the only one.
No, you didn't.
I did not show belief.
Oh, my God. Okay, we get it. You're smarter than all of us. Anyway, I have a bunch of questions about the playoffs. Normally, you know, for other shows who know what series are going to be what, you do like which team's going to win in that series. There's some series we know are going to happen. There's some other stuff that's a little bit unclear, so I don't want to go through that. So instead, I'm going to ask you all some questions, and we're all going to try to answer them about the playoffs. Maybe we'll get some fun debates out of it. Maybe Sam will just agree with Omar. That's totally fine, too. That's okay to agree with Omar. But hey, this is a good idea for us to make some proclamations about the playoffs and either look smart or look dumb after that. So I want to start off with this fun question. And I'll start with you, Omar. Which team do you think has the most pressure to win the Stanley Cup this year?
I'd say Colorado does. Just because, again, Colorado has ironically been the Leafs of the second round, where they just think of it, which is, again, ironic because second round. But yeah, like literally, like they every year or for the last little stretch, Colorado has been a monster in the regular season. They have these star players. This year, the team got better. You know, McKinnon's still around. Obviously, you know, Landeskog re-signed, which is great. Mikko Rantanen. Nazem Kadri's was having a career year. Cale Makar's disgusting. They have like one of the best defense cores, probably the best defense core in the league. And you know, Sam talked a lot about that after the trade deadline. So it's like you're looking at this team, and it's just like, how do you not win? Especially considering how weak the West is, like in relation, the fact that you see the Eastern Conference, like all eight teams that qualified have 100 points, like comparison to the West, like there's no reason why Colorado can't or shouldn't be the ones to get out. So definitely, I think they have the most pressure to win.
Okay, who wants to take after Omar? Because we know Omar, you made some really good points. Who's going to follow up? Justin, do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I mean, I think Colorado is the right answer. It's kind of hard to argue against that. I will say Calgary probably should be feeling a little bit of pressure. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau both need new contracts next season. And if one of them leaves, if both of them decide that they want to be elsewhere. I'm not sure how they rebuild under the current situation that they have. Like, it would be really, really devastating to that organization if they lost those two players. But if they win a Stanley Cup, I don't think it matters that much. So I think Calgary, Colorado, I think maybe Florida feel a little bit, but the answer certainly should be Colorado based on who they might lose and who, what decisions they're going to have to make in the offseason.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see how you can say Colorado isn't the team facing the most pressure. It's Kadri's last season. He's going to deserve a massive last contract. And, you know, they have no first or second round pick this coming year. This is, I mean, I'm not saying by any means their window is closing, because that team is so ridiculously deep and they have a ton of prospects coming up as well. But it's certainly kind of for this iteration of the team, I think, one of the last kicks at the can.
And Nathan McKinnon's sanity.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Because I don't think Nathan McKinnon wants to go through another press conference where he has to field some question from Adrian Dater about how he hasn't won anything or anything like that. Can you imagine that?
The 12% buffer. Yeah. That was hilarious.
It's also, I think, one of the last times they can probably do this with Joe Sakic's current model of, like, and that's not to say Darcy Kuemper hasn't had a great season. He's been really good. But, you know, when you think top goaltenders in the league, you don't often think Darcy Kuemper, even though his stats have always been pretty good. It's, I would say goaltending is their weakest position. Not that it's weak. It's just everything else is so strong.
Mm-hmm. Is Colorado's goaltending better than Florida's goaltending? Because I still don't think Darcy Kuemper is that bad compared to relying on Sergei Bobrovsky for a whole series.
I would say more consistent. Yeah. I think Sergei Bobrovsky at his best can be a 10 out of 10, but he can give you a 4 out of 10 the next night. And I think at least if Kuemper continues to give you 7, 8, 8.5 out of 10 every night under the conditions that the Colorado Avalanche do provide, I think you're in a much better spot. I mean, it's run and gun. It's firefight with the Panthers every night, and they're going to play some really great teams. And if Sergei Bobrovsky just doesn't show up, then that could be the reason why they lose. I just don't think Kuemper will be the reason why Colorado loses, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And I think add on to that, like, I remember, like, Nashville, when they would go on these runs and Pickering looked incredible. And then just one day he would wake up and say, okay, I'm done. And then just let in everything. So when it comes to a team like Florida, like, that's the inconsistency there, I think, is scary. But I don't think, you know, to Justin's point, I don't think Colorado has that issue in Kuemper. Now, could there be a series where Kuemper is the second best goaltender? I could see that, right? But yeah, I don't think it's a huge problem.
I know that my answer for this one, I know Colorado should be the de facto answer for this one, but I'm going to put pressure on Minnesota here because of the salary cap and implications with the Suter and Parisi contracts. It's kind of important for them to go pretty far this year. Who knows what they're going to do with the goaltending tandem that they have. I mean, they already paid Kirill Kaprizov, but what are they going to do with the team after those contracts start to kind of rear their ugly heads? They're already in the rearview mirror. They kind of have to win this year. They don't have the same amount of pressure as Colorado does, but I think Minnesota definitely deserves to be some pressure. They could also be an answer for this next question too. Which team are we sleeping on as a dark horse to win it all this year? Because Minnesota, they have goaltending. They're a fun team to watch as well. That first round series against St. Louis, that is a good battle test for them as they head into the playoffs. They may end up being a little bit more dinged up when they end up against their opponent they end up facing in the second round, rather them or St. Louis in that situation. But I don't know, like, if Minnesota is able to get through that and see if they get Colorado in the second round or something like that, and they upset them, like, don't sleep on the Minnesota Wild. Sam, who are we sleeping on as a dark horse?
I like the answer for the Wild. I think that's a solid answer. I was gonna say we're sleeping on the Leafs.
I thought about the Leafs.
Go through your process.
My process is, like, at some point, I know the easy thing to laugh at and that I do all the time is, like, first round exit. But, like, they look good this year. I feel like they've actually had some adversity over the last couple of years. I feel like maybe the Amazon series actually was embarrassing enough that maybe they developed some mental resiliency in response to it. I don't know. It's my process is, I think they look really good. Austin Matthews has been absolutely unbelievable. And like, he's been good every season, but there's something, there's just something that feels a little different to me this season. And that's, it's my, it's a gut feeling.
Okay. Omar, are you also on the Leafs?
Yeah, I had two answers. One that was like kind of like truth, but also kind of funny, and like a full-on answer. Go on the Leafs first. Like, I, at least because it's funny, but also like everything that Sam said is 100% true. And also you have to think that no one is expecting the Leafs to get out of the East because it's the East. Like, the East is it's going to be a bloodbath for anyone. And like, people are making jokes about the Leafs being able to win a round, much less get out of the East. So like, if there would be any like random season to do it, it would be hilarious if it was this one. Again, given the competition they have to get through. Again, Tampa in the first round probably. Then maybe you're facing what, I don't know. Actually, I don't even know how it would work out because of the divisions. Go back to 1-8, please. Yes, so please. Like,
it's so much less confusing that way.
So anyway. Yeah. So the Leafs, what do you want to answer? Another answer. Okay. So the Islanders aren't in the playoffs, right? Right. And they had that horrendous start to the season, like 13 games on the road. But then as the season progressed, it started to be a little better. But at that point, you know, everything was gone. The whole eight teams were already passed through. So Washington is a weird team for me because Washington's a team that, like, I think if there's going to be a first round exit, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington is the one to deal it to Florida. And also, like, I think of all the teams, I don't think people are expecting too much of Washington. Like, for all the other teams, like Carolina, like you can make cases for Carolina. The Rangers have Shesterkin, who can literally, in my opinion, can steal the series. Leafs are the Leafs. Tampa's Tampa. Boston's done it. They still have the other players, even though, yeah, they do have, you know, young, unexperienced playoff goaltenders. But like, Washington, it would be funny, but it would be very interesting, especially considering that a lot of people, I think, are waiting for that moment where Washington kind of takes a step back, despite the fact that Ovechkin's still scoring 50 goals. So I think Washington would be my other dark horse coming out of the East.
What about you, Kyle?
I feel like the Tampa Bay Lightning sort of shed the dark horse label this past week by obliterating the Leafs and then beating the Panthers a couple nights later. Like, I think everyone was sleeping on them a little bit. They're like, it's not going to happen. That third line's not the same. Nick Paul, waste of time. Brandon Hagel, that was a mistake. But then they kind of served notice to everyone, and I don't think you could put them in that category. So I'll go with the Boston Bruins. I mean, I think they're going to get a really nice draw in that they're going to come fourth in the Atlantic. They're going to cross over. Freddie Anderson's not going to be healthy. Antti Ranta's apparently not going to be ready either. Carolina's going to be down to a third goaltender. It doesn't really matter with them. David Ayers being proof of that they don't really care about who's in net. I mean, they showed it in the offseason, getting rid of Alex Nedeljkovic, just turning over the position. It doesn't seem like it really matters because they play so well defensively. But if you're Boston, you're getting them at a good time. And if you beat them, you again avoid Atlantic Division teams and you play either the Rangers or Penguins. I think you could be the favorite there as well. So I think Boston might be a team that could go on a deep run sneakily and maybe get into a conference final. So I just can't ignore the Atlantic Division. I think they're all four teams that are going to get in are just so good. And if one of them doesn't have to play the others, I think that's, you know, at least worth watching what they can potentially do in the Bruins.
All eight teams in the East, by the way, not to cut you off, Sam, but I just want to say this. All eight teams in the East are 100 point teams. I just want that said.
Wild.
Now, why is that though? Is that more about them or is it more about everybody else? I tend to think touché. It's the
latter. Well played, touché. That's a good point. No one's talking about that.
No, there's no other good teams. Like, I don't know if the Washington Capitals are very good, honestly. And I don't know how good Boston is. Maybe they're not that good. Maybe I'm overrating them. I just think there's an opportunity there. But really, I think there's just no competition. So the teams that have like done all these incredible things, like they deserve credit. And we've seen like historical scoring and all that. But how good are these teams really? I'm not really sure. And I think that actually plays into the favor of Tampa Bay, who have their understanding of what they are as a postseason team rather than just a regular season team that's picking on bottom feeders. And there's so many of them in the league right now.
That's true.
Right, Sam, did you want to make your point? Sorry again for cutting
off. I was just going to say, if there was one other dark horse for me, I would actually say, and I know they haven't clinched a spot, but I'm going to treat it as if they have, is the Predators. I mean, Roman Yossi is at what, 91 points?
Yes.
If UC Saros goes on a run, I think if they end up with the top wild card spot, they play the Flames. They're 3-0 against the Flames this season. It could, no. You know, they could sneak in if Saros keeps on going the way he has been.
You need goaltending in the playoffs. And UC Saros, I mean, Igor Shesterkin may very well be the Vezina winner, but UC Saros has been excellent in net this season. There's a reason why the Nashville Predators are in the position that they're in right now. If Nashville beats Calgary, that might be the upset of the playoffs. That might be the upset of the postseason.
They have a winning record against the Avs this season too. I'm pretty sure.
Are the Nashville Predators, are we going to call it now? Are they the team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs?
No, I forgot they were in a spot. I'm not going to lie.
Busy thinking about Vegas and Vancouver.
Well, yeah, literally. They might have a good draw too, because if you beat Calgary, who are you playing next? Edmonton or LA? I mean, that is the softest 2-3 in the league.
Oh my God.
LA. I mean, it's a great spot for Edmonton to be in. Maybe they can go on a run. But if you can get through Calgary, world might be your oyster.
That is true. The next one I wanted to bring up, which, and I think, funny enough, Carolina could fit in this, Cuth. Which favorite, is most likely to get beat in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably go with Carolina based on the information that we're getting. It's hard to see one of the division leaders falling, honestly. I think maybe Nashville, now that we're talking and working it through, might have that best opportunity. But if I had to choose one, it would probably be Carolina, just because of the position that they're in and what division is crossing over into theirs, that being the Atlantic Division, which I think out of the four is the stronger one. I don't know if we're talking about two seeds. Certainly, like, if we're looking at what the odds might be, Minnesota, St. Louis is a coin flip. So if the odds are 50-50, maybe it's them. But if I'm going to pick one that's a little bit more ambitious, I think I'll go with Carolina, even though I like them a lot. It's just down to your third goaltender at the wrong time.
Yeah, at the absolute wrong time. Omar.
Yeah. Carolina is, it's hard not to say Carolina again because the injuries in net. Okay, here's the thing. And I'm going to knock on wood because I don't want to get karma for this.
Okay.
The Florida Panthers have 13 overtime wins.
Oh, are you going where I think you're going?
And we talked about Sergei Bobrovsky and how there are moments where he's sick and there are other moments where he's not so sick, which requires the Panthers to have to score like 8 goals or whatever. Now, the Panthers showed that you can score like 5 or 6 goals in the playoffs because they literally did it last year against Tampa. It was a hilarious game. The game was stupid. It was like 7-5 or something. It was like, yeah, the playoff hockey. Yes, this is playoff hockey, right? But so I think of those two things. And again, I don't think it's going to happen. But like, if Bobrovsky is not up to par and if Florida gets in that sense where they feel like they need to outscore their problems, man, that's been the one series that I've like gone through where like if the favorite didn't win, I would not be surprised if Florida ends up losing in the first round just because of that fact. It's not to not knock on their scoring. I think they have, you know, elite skill. You know, they're going to get Aaron Ekblad back, which is solid, but we hear it all the time. The playoffs are a different animal. Playoffs are a different beast. And then this is from a person who has single-handedly watched the team try to rely on the outscore your problem strategy. And it works to an extent, but once you get into a point where you have to rely on the goaltending too much, and in the event where, hey, maybe the scoring just stops. So that would be one team in the Florida Panthers where if there was an upset, I could see it being there.
Okay. All right. I'm going to write Florida for you. I'm writing down all the different answers for all the questions, by the way, so we can reference this at the end of the postseason. I'm putting Florida down. I really hope we don't have to go back to this clip like we did last postseason when it came time for Edmonton, Toronto. I really hope we don't have to do it for your sake.
I learned my lesson. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh at any playoff eliminations.
Thank God. Sam.
I agree with Kath. I think the Canes are probably my answer. I think the other, if we are doing two seeds, how do you not say the Oilers?
Yeah, I thought about them too. I really thought about the Oilers.
I think the Kings have a decent chance at taking the Oilers out if that's the matchup that we end up going with. And I, you know, Sorry, I really enjoy laughing at Mike Smith. I think it would be really funny.
Oh my God.
Guilty pleasure. I think there's a solid chance that the Oilers get ousted in the first round.
Man, okay, you want to know one? Edmonton, you want to know one person on Edmonton who does not want that to happen? Does anyone remember what Dreisaitl said? I bookmarked that tweet so quick.
Can you refresh all of our
memories? It was something along the lines of like, I wouldn't want to face us in the first round. It was something like that. And I was like, oh, buddy, are you sure you want to? Man, like, I respect the confidence. I respect that. But man, if they lose in the first round, that tweet's going to be everywhere.
I love how you just kind of kept it there and you didn't say you're going to laugh at them. Just no. I got worried when you mentioned Edmonton like that. I was like, don't do that again. All right, next one. A team you really don't want to see win the cup. By the way, for the last one, I'm going to agree with everyone. I say Carolina, just with the goaltending issues. Just want to be consistent there. A team you really don't want to see win the cup. I know for my pick, I know this team doesn't have as much of a chance as other teams. I know their goaltending does not look as good. They let me down last year when I was high on them last year. Justin might know who I'm talking about. The Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, that's a team that is going through a last dance situation, but they've already won cups. Like,
you want to see Sid win another one?
Like, his legacy's secured. I don't need to see him win again. This is an opportunity for us to see Colorado or Florida or Minnesota or some other team that, like, we aren't normally used. Even if Tampa Bay wins, like, a three-peat, like, that's really cool. But, like, Pittsburgh, like, again? Like, I don't need to see Pittsburgh win again. I don't need to see them show everyone that, hey, you know what, they're rugged and playoff ready, and you have to believe, and you know, it doesn't matter if you're a low seed, anything is possible. I've seen that before. Like, let somebody else do well. And it's not as if the Penguins go out in the first round and they have to figure out what the hell they're doing with their core, it's not like we're going to look at them very differently. It's not like we're going to be like, oh, Sidney Crosby's a bum, Evgeny Malkin's a bum, Chris Letang's a bum. Like, we're not going to do that. So, like, I don't need to see Pittsburgh do well. I don't need to see them kind of mess up everyone's bracket and then be like, oh, wow, they beat up on the Rangers, who that would be fun to see do well. What if they end up in a playoff series against another Metro team like Carolina or something and they mess them up? No, I want to see more of the newer teams do well. I don't want to see some old magic one last time thing where Pittsburgh ends up in the Stanley Cup final. Watch them make the freaking Stanley Cup final this year after I said that they were going to do all this crap last year. That's what's going to really upset me. So Pittsburgh's my answer.
I'm down for one last dance. I mean, it's not going to happen again, probably. I mean, this core is breaking up this summer. Could be the last time we see Sidney Crosby play meaningful games. So I'd be down for one last run for the Penguins. But my choice would be probably the Boston Bruins. Like, I just don't enjoy them, I guess. Like, I'm not really I was trying to think of this. I don't really care. Like, I wouldn't really be upset about too many. I guess I don't want to see Boston win, though. I don't really like the Minnesota Wild either. And I don't want to see Tampa win again, to be honest. I like respect and do like seeing greatness happen in front of us, something that we can remember for the rest of our lives. Like, remember that Tampa team was the best team we've ever seen. That could be what's shaping up to be. But I don't like writing the same story every year as someone who writes stories for a living. And the Leafs exiting the first round and Tampa winning the cup for the third straight season would mean that I'm just writing the exact same things over and over again, which I'd prefer not to do. So a new story, unless it's Sid winning the cup again.
I'll say one thing about Tampa, though. Even if that would be the same thing, how many times have you seen a Stanley Cup team win cups 3 years in a row? That's at least the big thing with the Lightning. Like, that is greatness we have not seen in the salary cap era. That's why I wouldn't be so upset to see the Tampa Bay Lightning win again, because it would be the first time at least we can remember seeing a team win a cup 3 years in a row. Like, I think only three other teams in NHL history have won three cups in a row. So that's my one thing with Tampa, as opposed to, you know, thinking my answer for Pittsburgh. So I almost knocked over my trusty book that's supposed to take stock of all the different notes I've been taking throughout this episode. Sam, who's your pick? I can't lose that book.
My answers are actually the same as Cuts. I was going to say first Boston. If we're going to talk about Last Dance, that's a core that still has players from 2011. So I will absolutely delight in seeing them not win a cup again, for very obvious reasons. I also just, I'm done with seeing the Bruins win. It's too much. And Same thing with Tampa. Like, I've seen Alex Killorn's post-cup celebrations twice already. I don't need a third year of it. It's boring. Give me something different.
Okay. I'm going to put, just so we try not to repeat as much for some of the answers, I'll put Tampa Bay for yours, Sam. Omar, who do you not want to see win?
Yeah, if I wanted to see a blue and white team win the Stanley Cup three times in a row, I wanted it to be my team. But we're not that good. But we'll see. But I don't know, man. I don't think there's not a specific like team that I don't want to see win. I gotta say, man, Dallas hockey, not that fun to watch.
No, you know, if I was worried about that, I might have said Dallas, yeah. but I'm not too concerned.
To Omar's point, though, wouldn't it be something? I can see why he says Dallas here, because we're coming off a regular season where it has not been this bountiful of goals in like how many years. We have two guys approaching the 60 goal mark, all these guys in the 50 goal mark, and a team that has thrived on being defensive as hell. Winning the Stanley Cup would be the worst way to end a season like this.
The Dallas Stars are the only team in a playoff spot with a negative goal differential.
Oh my God.
Like I see that, and it's like I remember how they played in the bubble.
You have to play that way when the dude who's your captain and you're paying him $9.5 million has 46 points on the season.
Yo, listen to me, man. Remember when Jamie Benn had like 86 5 points, and that was like he got the Art Ross. Was it like 85 or 86?
87
like that.
Jeez, those are the days, eh?
We've come a long way.
Yeah. Yeah, 46 points for Jamie Benn. That sure is a down year for him. Cool. Next one. Really, really early pick to win the Conn Smythe, which I guess kind of sort of might reveal who you all want to win the Stanley Cup. But give me a player who really, really early on, who you think could win the Conn Smythe trophy when it is all said and done. Sam, who are you picking?
Cale Makar.
I like that. I like Cale Makar as that pick. I like it. Go on and tell everyone why Cale Makar.
I mean, he's having an outrageously good season. He's at the peak of his game right now, which is crazy because he's still so young. I'm speechless. All I can think about is him breaking Kirby Doc's ankles. It's like the goal scoring, the defense, it's a complete package. And I think he's finally ready to take that next step in the playoffs. And if they win the cup, I think it will be on the back of Cale Makar performing like he has all season.
Okay. Omar.
Yeah. Same team, but different player. I think like every time I think about the playoffs, I remember what Nathan MacKinnon said. I've been in the league for like, I think he said 5 or 6 years, and I haven't won shit. This man is going to go nuts. He's going to be hitting anything, blocking shots, doing whatever he can to ensure that that team goes as far as possible. So yeah, definitely MacKinnon would get my pick.
Okay. Cuff.
I fear the Steven Stamkos redemption story has got one more chapter in it. It goes from not being there for the Stanley Cup and then, of course, being there for the Stanley Cup, but not playing, you know, as big of a role as his teammates. Now he's having this incredible year, and maybe he's setting himself up to complete that story. But I'll go Sasha Barkov. I'm sick of all the Jonathan Huberdeau love in comparison to Sasha Barkov, wow, who is by far their best player and the deserved heart candidate, at least in my opinion. Sasha Barkov will show how valuable he is during these playoffs, I think, if they get by Tampa. He'll need to be very good.
I hope Alan Walsh doesn't hear this.
Honorable mention, Mason Marchand.
Hope he does.
Ooh, okay. All right, cool. I was thinking a lot about the Florida Panthers, just because I am technically on record, even if it was not with my money. One of the podcasts that I host did make a bet on the Florida Panthers to win the Stanley Cup. Let's see how that development goes. I'd like to say someone from the Florida Panthers, but I really want Colorado to also win this year. So I'm going to say Mikko Rantanen. Nathan MacKinnon, obviously, is going to get a lot of looks in the playoffs. A guy like Mikko Rantanen could really thrive in a postseason like this. So I'm going to say Miko Rantanen for as my really, really early pick for the Conn Smythe. Two quick ones before we wrap up here. Oh, go ahead.
So I was going to say, I think it's wild that we named three Colorado Avalanche and none of them were Nazem Kadri, who's their top point getter, and Gabriel Landeskog.
But may not last very long.
Yeah, I thought about Nazem. I thought about
that's an interesting conversation that came in my head. Man, that something's gonna happen, and he's gonna like the hockey gods are gonna like are gonna do something, and it's gonna be like you know in like sports movies or like any redemption thing where like a person is bit by a certain thing every single time, and that same thing has to present itself. Someone's gonna do something stupid to Kadri, and he's gonna turn around, and at that moment he has to make the decision: what path am I gonna go down? Like that's gonna be an awesome moment to see.
And hopefully it might cost him money if he gets himself suspended doing anything stupid as well. He's looking after his own career and his own legacy and his own money, as far as I'm concerned.
I hope he has a massive playoffs. I really, really hope that he can just play his hockey and not get into trouble, and that they do really well. Like that's one player I'm cheering for so much, because I just want to see, again, not the same story. I'd like to see that redemption story for him. I won't say he deserves it. I don't know if he deserves it, but I'd like to see it.
Okay. Series you're looking forward to or hoping for the most? Minnesota St. Louis is probably past my bedtime. I'm staying up and I'm watching that playoff series.
Hockey hipster, Minnesota.
Those are the two most even teams in the playoffs. They've had some crazy matchups throughout the year. It's gotten so crazy, like the fan bases and the way those two teams have gone at each other. Remember when Michael Russo and Anson Carter were going at each other? Like, that's how inflammatory that series is, man. Like, I'm with it. I'm gonna stay up if a TNT has it or ESPN has it or whoever's gonna show it. I'm watching Minnesota St. Louis. I never thought I would say that for those two teams specifically, but I think that's the series to watch, at least in the first round in this postseason. Kath, who are you picking?
Series I'm looking forward to the most, that was
hoping. I mean, so you could really say anything.
No, we're getting the best series. I mean, the stakes between Tampa and Toronto is just you could not really write a better scenario, I don't think. I mean, all the history with the Leafs, the historical context, basically going against the perfect antagonist in Tampa that understands playoff hockey, can thrive in playoff hockey, can win playoff hockey games the way they are often played. Like, I just think that series is going to shape what the rest of the playoffs looks like, because it's either going to be Tampa going for a three-peat or it's going to be Toronto figuring themselves out. And if they get over that hurdle, the psychological boost of getting past Tampa Bay, the defending Stanley Cup champions from the last 2 years, like, I just think the stakes are unbelievably high. They could not be. There's no comparison. It's Toronto, Tampa. It's going to be absolutely insane as long as it lasts.
Okay. Omar.
Yeah. On it, man, Justin was speaking to my soul right there. I felt myself lifting. Like, you know, that SpongeBob meme where I felt my soul coming out of my body there. Cause like he's 100% right. Like, there is so much that can come out of the Leafs winning this series. Not only the fact that they actually get to touch the second round for the first time in 18 years, right? So it's like,
it could buy its own beer.
It's a legal adult. It's a legal adult, right?
So it can buy itself its own beer in different parts of Canada. You have to be 19 in Ontario.
Yeah, go to Montreal and get some beer.
Yeah, go to Montreal. Yeah, get a beer. Montreal. Lame. Dude, yeah. That's 19. Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, like there's so much. And I feel, and I see the actual individual performances that we need to see for the Leafs to do that. I think would be insane. Auston Matthews would definitely have to take over that series. Mitch Marner would finally get his redemption story. That's been something that we've been talking about this episode so far, about redemption stories. Mitch Marner is going to have the most eyes on him in that series, because everyone brings up he hasn't scored a goal in the playoffs in like 2 or 3 years now.
He has more what's it called? A puck over glass penalties and goals.
Ah, oh my God. Yeah. Right. So there are all these things weighing against the team. And again, the fact that in that series, no one on paper will believe that the Leafs can do it. Everyone, I think Leafs fans are slowly starting to kind of get into a thought process of like, well, you know what? It was a great regular season. Kyle Dubas made the team better. We'll see what happens next year. Hopefully we don't run into Tampa in the first round. If they beat Tampa, like it's not going to be a fluke. It's not going to be like anything magical or whatever. It's going to have to take legitimate hard work. And I think that in itself is going to make it an incredible series to watch.
All right, Sam, your pick.
I have two, and they're both kind of getting ahead of myself. The first is I would love to see a battle of Alberta in the second round.
I think
a Calgary Edmonton second round series would be outrageously fun. Like I think back to, I can't believe it's 2020, but like they had that game where Cam Talbot and Mike Smith got in a fight and Kyler Yamamoto came out and was like, we hate each other. I want like real serious hatred in a series. I feel like we haven't gotten that in a long time. So that's one I'd love to see. And I think the combination of Jacob Markstrom having the career, like a career season going up against McDavid would be pretty fun. And then the other one I want to see is, I want to see a rematch of the 96 Cup Finals. I think this would be a real Cup Final. It wouldn't be a sweep for Colorado. And I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. UA Krupp's not coming out of that door, winning it for Colorado. Very last one here. I mean, like I said, the Conn Smythe options might've kind of shown our hands here, but you're picked to win the Stanley Cup. Sam, is it fair to say Colorado's your pick?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Omar, is Colorado your pick as well?
Same here.
And Justin, you're looking for something different, obviously. So
yeah, I mean, I guess we showed our hand a little bit. I mean, I'm cheering for Florida. If I want to see like fun hockey be rewarded, so Colorado, Florida, the Leafs, Edmonton, even Calgary. Calgary is fun too. Like, there's a lot of good candidates this year. I'm not going to be too upset with many of them. I don't think, at least. But I would love to see Florida's aggressiveness be rewarded, the style be rewarded, the way they put together their team, everything that's gone into this season, I find pretty endearing. So I'd like to see the Florida Panthers do it.
All right, cool. So three out of four of us, because I did hedge my bet, admittedly, by saying Colorado, even though I'm also not going to be too mad if Florida wins, but I would like to see the Colorado Avalanche do it. So three out of four of us say the Colorado Avalanche will win the Stanley Cup. But hey, as long as the playoffs are fun and they're, presents us some storylines, hey, maybe this is the year the Leafs actually do it. Can you imagine? We do an episode of Zone Time after the Leafs win in the first round for the first time in 18 years. Omar might cut a wrestling promo. I there's a part of me that kind of wants it to happen.
Just heavy breathing.
Part of me that knows that if Justin and I have to play the role of therapists again after the Leafs lose in the first round, man, that's what we're going to have to do again.
I mean, the stakes are high for the Leafs and Lightning, but they're high on this show. I mean, the potential, if the Leafs get through, it'll be magic.
Me and Rahef are going to be going nuts.
Oh, yeah. Rest assured, regardless of what. And I mean, we should think about some of the other Canadian teams, too. I mean, Edmonton, Calgary, we're going to talk about them, obviously, as well as they go through their postseasons. Great answer, by the way, by Sam for Battle of Alberta. If we get that in this postseason, that is going to be just off the charts in terms of craziness, fights, animosity, hostility, everything. The province of Alberta will never be as fractured as it will be if we get a Battle of Alberta this postseason. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Zone Time. I did say I wanted this segment to take up most of it. I think it took up all the time that we had today. So I'm very glad of that. So I have these all written down. We'll go back to this by the end of the postseason, see who was right, see who was wrong, all that, because we're all about having fun with these predictions and all about having fun even if we're wrong. For Sam, Omar, Cuff, I'm Julian saying so long, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.